Well, I'm John Facci. I play the bass.
I'm Ed Dwyer. I play guitar.
I'm Chris Fisher, lead vocalist.
Marcus Villano behind the drums.
Nice. And we're the Shards.
That's right.
Welcome to the legendary Shards podcast.
Thank you. So we're kicking around. We're playing live shows. We're playing live whenever we can. We're rehearsing practically every day. We're as tight as could possibly be. And, it becomes thoughtless. Shows are not nerve-wracking in any way anymore for me. It becomes routine. But we don't really have, anything to promote or give out. We had recorded at Tim's, at the recording company at that time. I believe it was Center Stage Productions. And, but that had been a few years. So I'm reading the Metrolamb one day, and there's an ad for Sweetfish Studios, who I'd never heard of. And it says that they're running a special, and they'll do a record with 1,000 CDs, all the recording included, for $3,000. So we talk about it and we decide, yeah, this is a good deal. We can come up with the money. Let's do it. So we end up going to Sweetfish Recording Studio in Argyle, New York, to begin recording the new record, which I think that we kicked around. It's going to be 23,999 miles per hour, or it's going to be Saturday Sunshine as far as a name. We ended up going with 23,000. And we go to Argyle, and we quickly realize the reason why they're running such a sweet special is because they're going out of business. And they're literally packing the place up around us. Certainly on our first visit. By the time we went to start recording stuff, there was nobody there but us and Mark Fuller, the 25-year-old engineer. And really, he did a really good job. But so they were going out of business to the point where at the end, I almost thought, we'll never see this freaking record, And I had to actually pester them to get that because it was not on time and I had to make some calls. And we got it at the end of the day. And, there were some issues, but we were the last project to come out of that place, and it closed. And the deal was $3,000 for 50 hours. You had to record the record in 50 hours. We wanted to do 11 songs. We did it in 52. So we had to pay a little extra, but it was 52 hours. Because we were so tight. It yeah. was just easy. It was an easy record to record.
Yeah. We rehearsed almost every day. And if we weren't rehearsing, we were probably hanging out or writing a song in the living room or something anyways.
Yeah, we were hanging out, playing or rehearsing or playing somewhere,
Right, and we played live. We recorded the original demo at Tim's. That got us the attention of Scott McPherson, and we recorded for that compilation.
CMG compilation.
So that was like October and maybe December of 95. We got in with big box theater, BBT, in Schenectady, and we did a lot of we recorded a little sort of EP. We were still making cassettes out of our recordings at that time, mid-90s, and then we actually got some recording time under our belt, but we were playing live, rehearsing, and playing almost every weekend, between 95, 96, 97. We're playing live and always playing and incredibly tight. And yeah, we got 11 songs in, 25 hours. He said we went over by a couple hours, but it was basically
the 2 hours was my vocals.
Yeah.
I did those vocals, the lead vocals and the backups, in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because by the time you guys were all done, we were at 50.
Yep. And then it was just we did 25, and then we had about 25 hours of, right, mixing and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Engineering. So, but like you said, we put it down, 1-2 takes, right? You do a scratch track and then a real track. We got it down, and we were, so in sync and so tight. It was great. It was pretty much a weekend recording session. It was a great, great facility. I mean, it was in the middle of nowhere, so.
Yeah, beautiful place.
Right.
Marcus was not in a good way at that point. It was my job to pick him up on Friday when we were going to get his parts all done and get him there.
But the facility was, designed and welcoming for such a situation. They had the rooms, and he was able to rest and but get the work done at the same time.
Well, yeah, we went in on that Friday night. It was really all about Marcus getting it done that night.
Yeah.
And he did, and he got them all, and it's an incredible job of drumming on the record. There's some parts I still shake my head at, and he got it done, and then he went and slept for a couple of days. We didn't really see him again, I think, till Sunday afternoon at some point, maybe.
Yeah. But
he got it done, so.
Yeah, and
it was a hell of a snowstorm that weekend too, as usual when we were going anywhere out of town to record.
Right. That's true. I never really thought of it, living in the, Northeast.
We chilled our space shuttle Rose and beer in the snow outside a side door.
Yeah.
For the weekend.
Yeah. That's where we began to adopt the relationship with the space shuttle.
Yeah, it's kind of how it became the cover and,
I mean,
Ed had gotten it because of 23,000, and then the whole space shuttle thing. And that space shuttle Rose was Wine with Hope.
Yes.
It said on the cork, so.
Fine New York
state wine. So shout out to Bully right. Hill, a New York winery.
That's right.
For that contribution to the record.
Absolutely. So, so we, I always thought we could have gone, one of two ways. As you said, we debated whether it was going to be 23,999 miles per hour or Saturday Sunshine. I always thought the order could have been flipped. I actually do have a design of a album cover for Saturday Sunshine. think I still have a file of it. And, you know, maybe someday down the road there'll be a re-release special edition. But we went with the 23,000, the rocket theme, and used a space shuttle on the cover.
Yes, a beautiful cover. A beautiful job.
Thank
on
you.
That. So then this is the song that ends up late from John coming home and saying, you know, with that night with the 24,000 miles per hour and the 23,999 miles per hour ends up becoming, you know, kind of the template and the theme of the record. And I just thought, as far as from my point of view, just the number itself, I personally, and all of us were moving pretty fast at that point in life, you know, and things were crazy and we were moving.
And
so it fit well, just the number.
We're a self-motivated juggernaut with nothing but the stars as our goal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we didn't want to be, you know, we wanted to conquer everywhere, but
it's all we talked about. It's all we said. We were making promises. We were cashing in on the credit we put down. We were going to be rock stars and nothing was going to stop us. And we'll see you at the top.
Yeah. And as far as the song itself, I, you know, after John and I talked that night that he came home with the idea, and then I remember being in my room and I think it, you know, I can still remember sitting there and the first thing I wrote was, "Here we go again, flying through the space, touching all the stars, the dead ones we replace," which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then constellations pose, they hold us in our flight, picking up a trail, a comet offers light. That was pretty poetic stuff there. I thought for a Kiss style, you know, song, that was a pretty good start. But, and then I kind of remember thinking, well, where do I go from here? Right. And I thought, well, here we go again, flying through the space. So maybe we visit different places. And at that point it's written. It's right. Just a matter of filling in the template. So that's what I did.
It's all the potential and all the your dreams and it's a great trip throughout the solar system.
Yeah, we have some madcap adventures and of course at the pinnacle when we feel we're going to escape Earth, you know, and there's also of course a drug correlation to the whole thing. I mean, you know, we're not going 23,999 miles per hour horizontally. We're doing it vertically and up, which was pretty much a pretty good theme of my life at that point. If I could take a drug, I would. So with few questions asked.
Yeah.
So it fit in a bunch of different ways for us at the time. And I think was, you know, I've thought about it too. What if we had flipped it? Saturday Sunshine. Great song. They sandwich the record perfectly, whichever way you play it.
Yeah.
And I think 23,000 just kind of set the tone. And it was that song I always said about the Doors. You know, if they didn't come out with Break On Through first, which was kind of just that crash and rock song, I don't know that they would have gotten away with people listening to them long enough on some of the other stuff, you know?
Yeah, and, I agree.
And that's what 23,000 was. It was our Break On Through.
Yeah.
So.
And what better way to start an album but on a launching pad?
Well, and then we put the rocket ship in there too, which in this remastered version, you know, I told Alan when I talked to him, listen, the rocket ship at the beginning, like, and it just wasn't big enough in the original. You know, I don't want it to sound like a rowboat pulling away from dock. I want it to sound like a freaking rocket ship taking off. And it does. And it extends further into the song, actually, than the original mastered copied it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.